Tonight you will hear Philippians chapter 4 verses 1 to 9. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, you who I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
So it's my pleasure tonight to welcome Jesse up to share with us. Why don't you give her a big welcome? So Jesse, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself. Firstly, what do you do here at church and what are you currently doing in terms of study and things like that?
So I'm studying theology at Moline College and I'm doing an internship like helping with kids ministry. I started from the first January of this year. So yeah.
Fantastic. And English is your second language. Yeah. So I was nervous preaching my first sermon in English. You're about to preach in a language you've only been learning for a few years, which is just mind-blowingly cool. So tell us, where are you from and how long have you been in Australia for and what brought you over here?
Yeah, so I was in South Korea, not North Korea. South Korea.
We'd love you anyway, that's okay.
So I moved to China when I was in high school and I came to Australia almost 4.5 years ago to study theology.
How good is that? That's so cool. And you're sharing with us tonight. You're getting up, you're preaching. That's a crazy big thing to do. Is that part of your training for ministry? Tell us a little bit about that and what you've been learning.
Okay. So this is my preaching assignment for my preaching class. So yeah, I'm learning alongside with Carol and Liam how to do kids ministry. And also I'm joining in the pastoral team meeting every Monday, so I learn how to do ministry
So fantastic. Well, I'm really excited to hear from you, and you and your voice in our staff team has just been phenomenal to have you there to challenge us and to speak to us from outside of our kind of culture and often just show the insights you have into the Bible are just phenomenal and really excited to hear from you. Why don't I pray for you and then we'll hear from you. Lord, I just thank you so much for Jessie. I thank you for the journey you've had her on her entire life that has brought her to Australia to study theology and brought us to this church family here in Thornleigh. And we just thank you for that and the blessing that she is to us. I pray over her now as she brings your word to us this evening, that you would calm her nerves, that you would help her feel at home and with family, and that you give her boldness to proclaim your gospel tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hi, church. Hi, I'm Jessie Kim, as I already introduced my name. I'm studying theology at Moline College, and I'm doing an internship at TCBC. I was born in South Korea, as I already said. Sorry, I repeat it. But my family moved to China when I was in high school. So we moved to a very small town called Tumut. I put the map on the screen. So this is between North Korea and China. This small town was very different to where I grew up in Korea. There was no movie cinema and no public library. And I couldn't even access Facebook, Instagram. I didn't even know what Instagram was. And I couldn't access Facebook, YouTube as well. So I was literally forced to do media fasting. Instead, I went to school from 7 a.m. to 12 a.m. Not a joke. So maybe probably that's why I'm sleeping more than normal people now. But the most shocking thing was they have no religious freedom. There was a local church in this small town, but this small church was strictly controlled under the government surveillance. They cannot plant a church without the government permission. And the Chinese Communist government always keeps an eye on the church and the missionary, even bug them if it's necessary. I even heard of this story of an older lady in North Korea. She could not pray out loud, so she would put the blanket over her head and pray in whispers. This is a part of her prayer. Let me read. God, I want to go to church just once in my life before I die. God, please do not abandon your children in this country. So many people get killed today because they believe in you. Please have mercy upon us. Give us freedom to worship you. Like this, in many parts of this world, they have no religious freedom, and the Christian activity, religious activity, is strictly limited. Every time I think of this town and the people there, it reminds me of the circumstances that Paul had to go through in his missionary journey. Under the persecution from the Roman emperor and people who did not accept Jesus as Messiah, Paul had to go through a lot of difficulties. Paul, he got beaten, he was arrested, and imprisoned. Despite all these things, he never stopped spreading the words of God, even encouraged the churches to be faithful to God in spite of all the situations. With that in mind, let's read verse 4 again. Paul is speaking to the Philippian church. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Paul is asking the church and us not to be anxious about anything, but rejoice. He doesn't just say rejoice, but rejoice always. Speaking frankly, is this possible? I'm not a parent, but imagine yourself as a parent. Your child is sick. They are crying because they feel sick. You took them to the hospital, gave them medicine, but nothing really worked. You have to pull an all-nighter with your sick child. Can you rejoice? Can you not worry about your child? Paul was in prison. He was in the most worst situation, much worse than any of us could ever imagine or have ever experienced. But he is telling us this is possible. If we look at verse carefully, we might notice this rejoice is quite conditional. Paul is not just saying to rejoice, but rejoice in the Lord. In other words, if you are apart from the Lord, you can't rejoice. Only when you walk with the Lord, you can finally rejoice. So now Paul tells us the two ways to be in the Lord. First way is prayer. Verse 6, Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. The solution to experiencing the peace of God is actually simple: prayer. Stop yourself from thinking about the anxious thoughts and worries, but spend time in prayer, talking to God, including times of thanksgiving. Present your request to God. It could be your troubles, worries, and even just wishes. Just talk to God. Worry robs us of our joy. Worry steals us from thinking about the good things happening in our lives. But prayer with thanksgiving brings us closer to God. It reminds us the goodness of God, and it finally brings us the peace of God. I have a story that I want to share with you guys about prayer. It is still a very recent story. It happened 3 weeks ago. So 3 weeks ago, I had to survive with $20 for 5 days. I know it sounds silly, but I totally miscalculated my budget for the previous month. So on Sunday morning, when I was walking from the station to the church, I just casually talked to God, "Lord, you know, I only have $20 and I have to survive with this $20 till Thursday. I cannot even afford my lunch after church." And my prayer became full of complaints. "Lord, you know, life sucks. I don't know what it means actually, what it really means. I just copied from the movie. Yeah, life sucks. Life sucks. And what was it? Sorry. I only have $20 and I have to survive with $20. Lord, living as an international student overseas is really hard. It's just overwhelming every day. Lord, come on, you can do better than this. I'm your child. You promised that you got to take care of me. Please support me. I need your help. Please just send one person who can provide a meal or a place where I can study today after church." I have to admit, this was an arrogant prayer, so nobody would pray like me. But you know what happened? As soon as I entered the church, just right in front of the gate, I bumped into an older lady who has been praying for me. And she came up to me and asked if I was free for lunch after church. And she even asked, "I can stay back until I have to go back to the church for 4:30 service if I want." I didn't even ask for this, but it happened. I was so shocked, and I felt so thankful for God that He is actually listening to my prayer, even the smallest thing. So I went to her house. I had a good time with her and her husband. I shared that I actually pray for just one person who could provide a meal and place where I can rest today. And she was so moved. So we both cried in her car because we felt the presence of God. As more I reflect on this event, I could tell God wanted to show me so that I can tell you guys God is listening to your prayers. God cares about you. God loves you. And God wants to help you even the smallest thing. When we see God working in our lives, we feel the presence of God. We find joy and peace in God. So the result of prayer is the peace of God. Verse 7, the peace of God that is beyond all human comprehension, that protects our hearts and governs our minds in Christ Jesus. We will take a note on this. It only happens in Christ Jesus. The peace of God is not based upon the outwardly things such as appearance, work status, or number of friends. The world demands a price for this peace and saying only if we have more money, only if we have better looking, or only if we have a better career, you will live in peace. You won't have to worry about anything, but everything will be perfect. But this is not true, because this peace has never belonged to this peace has never belonged to the world from the first place. Rather, the scripture says, Jesus Christ paid the price for this peace. For the Lord Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1, verse 20. And through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. In other passages, shortly before Jesus was crucified, he told his disciples about this peace. John chapter 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, or do not be afraid. This cannot be a man's contribution, but is only of God's giving. Jesus Christ secures and ensures our peace through the union with him. And the Holy Spirit brings this peace into your souls, hearts, and minds when we pray to God with thanksgiving. Let's go back to Philippian church. The church was suffering because of the persecution. But Paul is telling the people in Philippian church, "Church, listen. I know there is a division in your church. I know you've been attacked from persecution. But do not worry about anything, but pray with thanksgiving in Christ. Then the peace of God will be with you." The second way to be in the Lord is right thinking and action. He says, think about whatever is true, which means whatever conforms to the gospel, whatever is noble, which means whatever is worthy of respect, whatever is right, which means honest and just, whatever is pure, which opposed to the thoughts of evil, the thoughts of wicked, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Think, but do not stop there. Not only just think, but further, he tells us, in light of what we have learned, received, heard, or seen in me, put these things into practice. Our outward action and what we think, our inner spirit, cannot be separated. Paul encourages to think about good things and live godly lives, and applied all of the principles of spiritual living that we learn from him. Like where the engines of the train goes, the rest of trains follows. Thinking about God, his goodness, the rejoicing thoughts will lead us to live the life that is acceptable to God and honoring to the Son. But if we dwell on the negative thoughts, distressing thoughts, it leads us to a different direction. The exhortations are thus finished. So Paul rightly concludes with a wish of peace. The God of peace will be with you. The theologian Amy Carmichael describes the peace, this peace, like this. The peace of Jesus stood every sort of test, every strain, and it never broke. It is this, his very own peace, which he says, I give. No matter how big or small our trials may be, we can trust Jesus to give us his very own peace in the midst of them. His peace will be with us in our midst as we put our trust in God, remind ourselves of the love that Christ shows through his death on the cross follows his ways in our daily lives. I want to wrap up the sermon with the story of a missionary. Firstly, I'm thankful that I got the permission to share this story, but due to the safety issue, I won't be sharing about where he worked or what he worked for. So he's an older man. He's a missionary. He was the head of the organization, missional organization, where my parents used to work together. He had been working his ministry almost 30 years. He was a diligent and honest guy. Since my parents moved to a different country, we barely knew or heard what's happening for them. One day, I heard that the government had fined him more than $800,000 and put the missionaries in prison, including him for evangelizing. When I first heard this, I was really sad and was really discouraged. I knew they had been working really hard, not out of their own greed, but for God, for people they loved. But the result of 30 years of ministry was a huge fine and the imprisonment. My parents and other missionaries, they fly back to where he was imprisoned. They really worked hard to release him, but nothing ever worked. But a few days later, I got to hear what he shared with his peers from my parents, and it shook me really hard. So I want to share with you guys. He said, "I'm happy because because I can read the Bible all day long. I'm thankful for God that I can maintain good health conditions even in prison. And I'm thankful for the time God allowed me to work for the sake of gospel. I want nothing, but the cross is enough for me." Even though his situation wasn't changed, but he wasn't disappointed. Rather, he put his trust in God. He prayed with thanksgiving. He thought about the good things that God had given to him. He tried to live according to what God said. While I was preparing this sermon, I couldn't stop thinking of what he said. I believe this is what Paul was talking to the Philippian church. Even though it seems to be impossible to rejoice in the midst of our suffering, but if we can be reunited with Christ through our prayers, right thinking, and right actions, we will be able to dwell in the peace of God in spite of the circumstances. This older man was released from prison a few years ago and still spreading the words of God in different countries. I hope today we as church will remember what Paul said to Philippians church. "Rejoice, rejoice in the Lord always. Do not worry about anything, but pray with thanksgiving. And the peace of God will be with you always in Christ." I will close with prayer. Let's pray. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you that because of you and your Son's sacrifice, we can rejoice in you. And rejoice always. Thank you that it doesn't matter what circumstance we may be in. If we have you and are putting our trust in you, we can still rejoice. Help us to lean on you and come to you in your prayer whenever we feel helpless. Amen.